This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we have another special guest today. We'll be talking to an accredited speaker. Who have we got today?
Yes, our guest is Eldana Lewis Fernandez. Eldana is a retired Air Force veteran with 23 years of honorable military service. She is a negotiation and contracts expert with over 30 years of leadership, contracts management, and negotiation experience. She's negotiated contracts from $1 to over $100 million, both stateside and internationally. Eldana is an advanced communicator silver, and she has just recently received the accredited speaker designation from Toastmasters International. Eldana Lewis Fernandez, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and share some great insights about the accredited speaker process, and I'm happy to be a Toastmaster.
I was going to say it. And hopefully you'll share a little bit about you.
I will. I love sharing about me, too.
Well, that's a great lead-in then to get us started here, Eldana. Can you tell us a little about your professional background, how you ended up getting started in speaking?
Well, As you read, I was in the military. I was in the Air Force for 23 years as a contracts administrator and negotiator, then several more years in the defense industry on the other side of the table doing the same thing. And about 10 years ago, I started speaking on behalf of a nonprofit helping women in crisis. And the founder of the nonprofit said, I like my speakers, if they haven't been speaking professionally, to go to Toastmasters and have some, at least a little foundation of speaking. So 10 years ago, I joined Toastmasters and I started speaking on behalf of the nonprofit and found out I really enjoyed speaking and started developing my own professional speaking content and platform, and had one brand that didn't really take off. So about 3 or 4 years ago, I started speaking and training on negotiation, which is my expertise. And I've been doing my own events, and I do speaking and training and keynotes all around the country, and I've done some internationally. So that's basically, in a nutshell, how I got started.
So what made you decide to go for the accredited speaker designation?
Many years ago in Toastmasters, I had heard accredited speaker Cheryl Rausch talk about the accredited speaker program, and I kept the little handout that I had gotten from an event, and I thought, oh, I want to do that one day. And that was at a time when I wasn't qualified to even think about doing it, but I kept it, and I kept it in a little folder, and I kept looking, and I'd write some of my talks down. And then last year, about this time, I guess around September of last year, Cheryl came to me and said, you know, I think you're ready to go for this. And we had a little conversation about it, and I thought, okay, well, let me look at it, and pondered on it a while. And I thought, you know what, I think I'm going to go for this because I'm qualified to do it now. It's been a goal of mine for many years, and I think it's time.
Cheryl can be very, very convincing, can't she, Ryan?
Yes, she can. Absolutely. And she's been a great evangelist for the accredited speaker program, as you know, Eldana. Give us some details about the actual application process. I understand there's some paperwork involved, there's submission of videos, a lot of steps before you actually get to the stage at the international convention. So flesh that out for us. What does it look like?
Well, there are a lot of steps. And before you can even apply, you have to have at least 25 speaking engagements, 15 of which are paid to non-Toastmasters audiences of 20 or more. And then once you have that, there's an application. It's about 5 pages that you complete, and that's due between January 1st and February 1st. And it includes you listing all your engagements, all your 25 engagements, and the 15 paid, and how much you got paid, who it was to, how many were in the audience, et cetera, et cetera. And then you list some things about yourself, your professional experience, your background. There's a lot of questions about your experience and background as a speaker and as a professional, and you fill all those out, maybe awards that you've received, if you published any books, if you published any articles, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very extensive application. And along with that application, you're welcome to submit things. Like if you have a speaker brochure, I have a corporate speaker brochure and a keynote type speaker brochure. So I submitted those as well. But along with that, you have to submit a video of 25 to 45 minutes. It cannot be edited. So an unedited video that has to be to an audience of non-Toastmasters of 20 or more. And it has to include an introduction in it. And you submit all of this to Toastmasters between January 1st and February 1st. And along with that, also 5 of your paid speaking engagements have to submit a form letter directly to World Headquarters. They don't submit it to you. You send it to them, ask them to submit it, about your performance as a speaker. So basically, were you a speaker they'd invite back? Was your content valuable? Was it well received, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to submit all of those things between January 1st and February 1st, and then they notify you whether or not you've been passed to level one judging. And out of this past year, there were 15 who submitted, only 10 passed to level one judging. Now, level one judging is where 5 accredited speakers, current accredited speakers, review your application. There's a ballot that they use to discuss your content, your delivery, things like that. So there's scoring that goes on. And then the last 2 questions on there that they ask themselves is, would I refer this person? Would I pay this person to speak? And it's a pass or fail. So 5 accredited speakers go and review. They go, actually, I was told they went and reviewed my website. So they want to see whether or not you are actually a professional speaker out there speaking professionally. They went to my YouTube channel. I'm all over the internet, so they looked at a lot of my stuff. They looked at my social media. They looked here, there, and everywhere to determine, okay, is this person actually a paid professional speaker? So then I was notified in April that I passed to level 2 judging, and then level 2 judging was speaking at the international convention on the main stage with a 20-minute presentation on my content. And then there's 5 accredited speakers anonymously in the audience. They have the same ballot. They're asking the same questions and evaluating the same thing as to whether or not to give you the accredited speaker or award you the accredited speaker designation.
I understand from your blog that you got some help and there were some things that you never thought to include that you decided to include. Can you share something about that?
Well, one of the things of going for the accredited speaker process that I did say in my blog is the importance of getting a coach as a mentor. As an accredited speaker, we mentor other accredited speakers at no cost. And mentoring means taking a look at the application. So Cheryl was my mentor, and she took a look at the application, and it's always good to have another set of eyes look at things. And I had not included a lot of my professional experience. She said, well, what about this? Didn't you do this? And what about this? And you need to think about this and this. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Sometimes it's hard to toot your own horn, so to speak, and really think about, I've done a lot of things where I've gotten a lot of awards. I forgot to include that I competed in speech contests and I've won awards there, and I'm an award-winning author, and some of the other professional places that I've spoken or things I've done. And having somebody look at that and go over that and say, and be a kind of a check and balance really helped me. Oh yeah, I forgot about this and this and this, and it made my application look that much more professional.
Sounds a lot like a Toastmasters evaluation.
Definitely, I think it is. I think the evaluation process in Toastmasters helps with something like this. And actually, from what I understand, there are people who refuse coaching. Oh, I don't need coaching. No, I don't need coaching. That is the worst mistake to make. I already know everything. I don't need a coach. I'm already a professional speaker. Why would I need to be coached in this? And those people who did that did not make it in the past, from what I understand, because I did a lot of research on the process before I actually went to the convention to do the speaking.
How much time did you have from when you found out that you had been passed through to have the opportunity to go to the convention and present, and August when you actually went there to do it? What was the time frame like?
Well, we found out in April that we passed a level two. The convention was in August. So I said that in April, the real work started. I'd already done all the work to be able to apply, and the application process, or making the decision, was actually the easy part. The application process was stringent, but the real work started once I was past the level two, which meant, okay, now I really have to start training and drilling my skills in order to present the talk, at the 20-minute talk at the convention, so I would be sure to pass the first time.
Now, this is a talk that you've given before. Have you given it in a 20-minute format before, or did you have to condense a longer presentation into 20 minutes?
Well, typically I speak for an hour, hour and a half, 3 days. I do my own 3-day training. So 20 minutes is not typically, I mean, I have competed in speech contests, which are 5 to 7 minutes, but 20 minutes for my negotiation content is not something that I typically do. So I made the mistake of taking my hour presentation and sandwiching it down to 20 minutes. And I went out to one of the local professional clubs and I gave it there, and they absolutely shredded it, to the point where the feedback was longer than the talk. I always say feedback is the breakfast of champions, but take what you like and leave the rest. So during the process, I went and spoke at a lot of clubs. After I did this, I videoed everything too. Videoing yourself speaking is very important, because you think you see or know how you present, but you can often see how others see you and how you show up when you videotape yourself. So I videoed the presentation and the feedback, and it took me a couple of days. I came home wondering, am I really ready for this? This is, wow, okay. I don't know. And I thought about it, and I let it sit for a couple of days. And then I went back and watched the video, and I thought, oh, I see what they're saying. So then I wrote a specific 20-minute talk with my content, but I pared down the stories, and I picked 5 specific strategies that would have the enough story in them to be able to get the point across in 20 minutes and make it ebb and flow and weave together nicely.
A topic like negotiations is very, very broad, so I can imagine it would be sometimes a challenge to pick the 3 or 4 or 5 things you were going to talk about.
It can be a challenge because there are so many things you have to consider in negotiation, and which things are going to be those things that really hit the audience and give them good takeaways in a short 20-minute time frame. And I usually, on my hour talks, I do between 9 and 11 strategies depending on the audience. And I'm paring this down to the top 5, basically, that would really give the audience something to take away was a challenge.
I know in one of your stories, you actually used your daughter as a prop. Tell us about that.
Yes, she became affectionately known as the prop. So one of my strategies is fair and reasonable in negotiation. One of the things you have to think about when you're presented with something is whether you feel it is or is not fair and reasonable. And that fair implies a proper balance of conflicting interests. Reasonable means not extreme or excessive. Fair and reasonable means balanced and somewhat moderate. So the strategy is, okay, how do you determine something fair and reasonable? And my daughter had a landlord-tenant dispute. She only got back $98 of an $800 deposit. So I share the story, not saying it's my daughter, but I'm sharing the story about a college student and how this wasn't fair and reasonable, and here's why. And I showed the audience a lot of examples of that. And then at the end, I introduced her. I said, let's welcome that college student, my daughter, Marissa Fernandez. And she stood up in the audience, and I had a picture of her and I on the screen, and got a resounding round of applause. So she was affectionately known at the convention as the prop.
Excellent. And for those of you out there who would like to see the entire presentation, you can still catch it on Toastmasters On Demand if you want to watch the whole thing and watch all 5 of the accredited speakers.
I'd like to hear, Aldana, a little bit more about your experience at International. Sort of once you got there to Washington, D.C., how did you prepare yourself to take the stage, and how do you feel it went once you got up on the stage?
Unlike a speech contest, we were notified in advance what our speaking order was. So I was first up, and I was like, good, yes, first, that's good. I'll get to be able to pay attention to the other presenters and not have to be in my head thinking about my presentation, which was good. But my daughter and I actually went out on the convention started Wednesday evening. We went out Sunday on a red eye, and we were there Monday and Tuesday doing some sightseeing, taking some time, which I think is important, some me time. Not really, of course, it was running through my head, but I wasn't focusing on it. I was taking some time to spend with my daughter and be kind of disconnected from the whole process. Well, then Wednesday, I went over early. They were having the dry run for the opening ceremony. And after they were done, Cheryl was there and we got permission to get up on the stage. And I think it's very important when you're speaking, I do this wherever I'm speaking, if I have the opportunity, to get up on the stage and walk the stage and see where it feels comfortable to be positioned, see if there's any weirdness with the stage. Some places creak, some places have a divot where if you're wearing heels, you need to be concerned about that. So I always like to walk the stage and see what that's about and talk to the audiovisual person. Found out we could not use our own clicker, which I lost about a night's worth of sleep thinking about where all the things could go wrong with using a different clicker. And I had planned to use a handheld mic and my little finger clicker. So this changed the whole thing. I was going to, they had a lav mic or the other mic that comes around your face. And I don't like those because my hair is so thick, it makes it move all the time. So I like the lav mic. So I'm planning all this in advance. You have to prepare in advance is also one of my negotiation strategies, but you use that for any area of your life. So I'm preparing in advance, going down my checklist of things and walk the stage. And then during the opening ceremonies, and then Ed Tate was a speaker, and then the next day, because we weren't speaking until Friday, so I got to watch speakers on the stage Wednesday night and Thursday to see where their position was, where it looked right for the audience. So I thought, okay, I don't need to come further than this. I don't need to go back further than this, so the audience will receive me well. So I was evaluating all of this and thinking about all of this, putting it all into play. Prior to going there, I had purchased a suit that I was going to wear for the actual presentation. I had set up somebody to come do my hair and makeup the morning of, because I'm preparing in advance. I know I'm going to get the video and I know I'm going to get some photos, so I wanted to look my best because those are things I can use in my marketing later. These are all things that I thought about. And then I simply enjoyed the convention and connected with people and met people and kind of got into it, met people that were going for the accredited speaker designation and connected with them and just had a good time with it and got ready to roll on Friday morning. We had to show up at 6:30 in the morning, but I didn't sleep the night before. I did sleep some, I guess. I woke up at 3 a.m., couldn't go back to sleep. Hair and makeup guys showed up at 5 a.m. We had to report at 6:30, got ready to go, and it started at 8 a.m., and I was first up. That's kind of it in a nutshell. It was a lot of activity, but I did a lot to prepare and set my mindset on what I was doing and focusing on where I'd be on stage, the audiovisual stuff, problems with that, if there were any, and what mic I'd have and how I'd look. And I even talked to the AV people about coloring. They had some bright white panels and they were doing different colors. And I was suggested that they don't have the exact color of my suit or make me look like the color of my suit, because I noticed last year they had a black curtain and somebody was wearing black and they looked like the curtain basically on the video. And I thought, no, I don't want that, because I'm in a blue suit and they have a lot of blue coloring here. So I focused on that as well.
Wow. A lot of tips there for any speaking situation, especially professional speaking situation. Eldonna, when you gave your presentation, what was going through your mind as you finished? Did you think I nailed it? I know I'm going to get it. Or did you have any doubts or uncertainties?
Based on the way the audience responded and the fact that I had drilled my talk 200 times. I went to organizations. I went to clubs. I did it in the car, the beach, my house. My cats got tired, like, oh, here she goes again. She's going to do this talk again. I used my house as a stage. I went over it again and again and again until it became part of my DNA and did not sound contrived like a speech, because I had specific things I was going to say. And we only had 20 minutes, and we were told that if you go over the 20 minutes, you risk being disqualified. So I had done everything I could to prepare. And before I go on stage, I always say a little prayer and ask, what three things am I supposed to be the audience today? And I do that because I want to take me out of the equation, and I then become basically a conduit to share information with the audience, which is what it's about. But in this particular case, I wasn't as focused on the audience, but I still said that prayer. And then I went out there. They had said they were going to start the clock when I uttered my first word. They started the clock when I walked out there and the music was playing. So I got a little flustered, but people said that they did not notice that, thankfully. But I noticed it myself. I'm like, okay, stop the music. I need to talk. And it seemed like it was going on forever. And then I gave the presentation. People applauded. People laughed. People participated. And when I was done, I felt like I had done the best job I could. And I really felt that I nailed it. I really felt good. And as I walked off the stage, a couple of the accredited speakers, including Cheryl and Rochelle Rice, gave me the thumbs up. And I felt really good about it.
Obviously, you did nail it. Wow, this has been an exciting conversation. But sadly, we're going to have to practice your negotiation technique number 5, and that's stop talking. Which is too bad, because I'd love to hear more. Eldana, I'm sure there'd be lots more people who would love to get a hold of you and chat with you and find out more about what you do and find out more about negotiating. Where could people find out about you?
My website is eldonalewisfernandez.com. You can also get me at thinklikeanegotiator.com, Eldana at thinklikeanegotiator.com. I'm all over social media. Connect with me there as well. Love to share some more great negotiation strategies.
Congratulations. I believe you're number 68, accredited speaker number 68. Thank you so much for being on our show, and thanks for spending the time with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Eldana. All the best.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.